communion itself. I believe it's important to understand the principle, the elements. There's two things that the Lord told us to observe. One was water baptism, and the other was communion. Both of those are important. Salvation is the beginning and entering into all that. Amen. Maybe as a child you were sprinkled, but you didn't know it. Say amen. When scriptural is, water baptism follows conversion. It means you understand that area. You're buried in that watery grave and you're raised to new life. Now, there was nothing wrong with getting sprinkled, but you just got wet. Say amen. But truly, I believe that communion is something that we partake and we do it as a remembrance. But it's so important how we do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 20. Now, the Corinthian church had everything going on, but they were a mess in many regards. They were a mess concerning the gifts of the Spirit. They were a mess concerning communion. They were a mess. They were like immature church. And many times they started off in the Spirit, then they tried to work it out in the flesh. Well, when it came to communion, they were called love feasts. And what would happen is that they would gather together and have their meals and also have communion also. And what was happening is that the two were co-mixing and were getting to the place where they were starting to chow down on the communion when they should have been eating their own food. How many of us we can blow it sometimes? How many of us we can get way off there? But truly, Paul was trying to bring some instruction that when you take communion, it becomes a sacred part of your service. That isn't just done lightly. It isn't done like your meals. There's a preparation. I'm going to go through them things today. Chapter 11, verse 20. Therefore, when you come in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating it, one takes his supper ahead of the other. And one is hungry and the other one's drunk. Can you imagine that in the house of God? They're acting up. Some are eating, some are drinking, and some are even being drunk. How many think that could be a messy church? Can you imagine the job the Apostle Paul had to have? I mean, that was quite a feat. He said this, all the things I've struggled, all the battles I had, all the marks I bear, every time I was whipped and beaten, the care of the church has weighed on him more than all. And before he died, he said this, one thing I do know is that when I depart, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. That's like all of us in here. We need to be on guard even in our own fellowship. Come on. We need to be watchful. I shared this earlier this morning that any church that goes in the Spirit and operates in that realm will come under attack. The enemy doesn't play fair and he wants to keep the church muffled. He wants to keep the church powerless. But we have to enter in more in. I appreciate those who had an opportunity to come out to the intercessory time we had. There were 25 people that said, hey, I want to pray and seek the Lord. Say amen. Amen. When it comes to his body, Jesus' body was bloodied and broken. He paid the price for us. But all of us in here need to eat and drink worthily. Somebody say worthily. Each one of us need, when we come in and take communion, the purpose is that it's like, Lord, I'm sanctifying myself. That it's just not an ordinary meal. It isn't just like you come in and say, hey, I'm going to take communion. There's preparation. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, it says this, let a man examine himself so that he may eat and drink of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, there are many weak and sick among you, and many have passed on. It's so important that when we partake, that we examine ourselves. And that can be done in a moment. That can be like, Lord, if I've committed any sin, Lord, just cleanse me. How many of you can do that in a moment? But you can be even in communion. The Corinthians were way off there. They were eating food and they were eating the communion. Some were drinking. They were a mess. And Paul came in and said, listen, you guys don't even discern the Lord's body. If you're going to eat, listen to me, I understand the love feats. I understand the gatherings. I love it when we do Taco Friday or whatever. I think those are cool, or when we have a wild game night. I think that's really awesome. But we do that as its own purpose. That isn't the communion. It wouldn't be like, hey, come on in, we're going to have some communion, chow on some food, and you can't distinguish the two. How many want to have a body that's healthy? We have to examine ourselves. That means we place ourselves and say, Lord, examine me to see if I'm morally fit, religiously fit to partake. There needs to be a sincere, earnest frame of mind. Now, all this can happen in a moment. But if you know communion is on this day, prepare yourself before you come in. Amen? Prepare yourself. Say, Lord, I'm going to partake. Because when we break that bread, obviously it's broken before you get here. I understand that. You understand that. But the principle is still the same. That the same loaf I'm eating and you're eating, the same cup, that same juice I'm drinking and you're drinking. So in essence, we become together in this. That means every member is included. So everyone who's partaking of it is partaking of one another too. That means with the way we're living, then we're all partaking of that too. That's why, Lord, change me, Lord. Lord, if there be any wicked way in here, because I'm bringing that into the body of Christ. Come on. Is this good? We examine that area. Communion, number one, if you're taking notes. Communion is authentic. We received it from God. Each one of us in here need to look at it and say, there's nothing like the communion of the Lord. If you weren't saved, listen to me, that's not even part of your life. I love it that we have this thing together, that God said, listen, as a body, you can bring this together. Number two, communion is what? Distinctive. It's separate from ordinary meals. When I look at this communion, Jesus himself, I'll get this in a little while, one day we'll partake with him in heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Could you imagine the Lamb of God breaking the bread? Oh, that's going to be so cool. What they received in the upper room, they had that common union. The 12 at that table on his last, when he was being forsaken, the Last Supper, he had common union. We'll have common union there too. That's going to be so awesome. Now, I don't know how he's going to lay out the tables, but that'd be pretty sweet. Come on, that's not far from any one of us. We still keep thinking heaven's so far away. It's not. It's near. It's now. And really, everything is rapidly approaching the end. If you notice, things are just speeding up and things are happening. And it's amazing that one thing can arrange. Now, you can kind of see when John said in Revelation, one day everybody will be able to see one spot. How many knows we can do that today? Satellites can picture an image. Could you imagine John the Revelator trying to describe what he saw way back then? He did a pretty decent job. But more than ever, we're seeing not only that the technology increase, we're also seeing the demonic increase, but how much more the glory of God increasing. We need to start seeing that. There isn't a battle between God and Satan, and Satan's getting some counterpunches and knocking God out. He's above all, in all, and through all. He's just waiting for the church to arise. Come on. The church needs about it be about the Father's business, not monkey business or their own business. Amen. Number three, communion is a memorial. It's like we take his body. He died for us. He's been broken. In Hebrews 9, verse 16, this is the testament that it must have first a death of the person or the testator. Before a will can come alive, there has to be somebody who has passed on. Have you ever seen a will before? And if you're written in the will, usually there's something that goes with it. Hopefully it won't be debt, but there's assets. Say amen. Usually what they have, you came in with nothing, you're going to leave with but the character you possess. But what's neat about this will is Jesus came back alive to help you spend it. Say amen. He helps you kind of, so your inheritance come gradually and will ever be increasing. Oh, you can, your inheritance will go forever. Amen. You have an inheritance of provision forever. Housing, food, lodging. Cool. Covered, paid for. You have an inheritance of not only that, you have a great life insurance policy that you'll never have to cash in. Say amen. You have eternal life. Glory to God. You have health to come with it. So all your sickness has been taken care of. How many think that's a great thing? No more trouble. No more Satan. All that's done away. Believe me, it's so rich and full. We squander so much now. We worry about so much now. We have so much more in Him. Amen? Number four, communion is a pledge. It's a pledge of the Lord's return. In Matthew 26, verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it with you new in my Father's kingdom." He's prophesying into that one day I'm going to drink this with you there. That should excite us all. But as we do this, we do it in remembrance. We set that up. His Holy Spirit is here. Number five, I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. Communion is a reflection of the heart and character. Each person must have a proper reflection and proper examination. We must look at our judgments and say, you know what? Am I judging this right? Lord, help me. Give me that reflection in my heart. And believe me, if there's something wrong, spend a moment in your chair and get it right. Don't cancel yourself out that you can't partake, that you're never worthy. None of us are ever worthy. Christ makes us worthy. Don't get in that guilt mode, well, you know, I got to do this and this and this and this and this. Get it right with all that's within you. And if you know you're entering this time and you have an ought against somebody, do all you can to make it right before you come in. Some things are hard to make right all across the measure, especially if they don't live in the state or whatever, but you can make a phone call. You can start off with humility. I'll get into that in a minute. Remember, we're partaking of the same body. We're together in all this. Amen. Number six, communion is a proclamation. It's a proclaiming of our faith. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, as often as you eat or drink this cup, notice that as often as you do this, you're declaring my oneness with Christ. I am not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that we proclaim our faith or the Lord's return. Amen? It says, proclaim this Lord until the death, until he comes. It says this, 11, verse 26. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As often as you eat this and drink this, you proclaim him. Oh, that's really cool. When we understand we're bringing a proclamation, we should let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Christians no longer need to be silent about their relationship with Christ. Pray for boldness in that area. When you look at yourself, I believe truly with all my heart, healing can come during communion. Lord, I'm going to drink this. I'm becoming one with the body. If your body is connected, how many knows your body always wants to do what's right? Death is really a breakdown of the cells. We know that's a reality. But as we're going on this life, I want to have a good journey. Anybody here? Amen. I want to have a good journey. One day, close your eyes, you're in glory. I don't like it when I see saints suffer. I struggle with that. We've all seen it. I like it. Lord, you're done. Take them home. Glory to God. Is this good? Number seven, communion is fellowship. It's fellowship with the body of Christ. If you're taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17, we have a cup of blessing. We have the communion of Christ. When we break the bread, it says in Scripture, is it not the body of Christ? Well, I like having communion, common union. We have something together, brother. Amen. We should look at that with one another. We should look at each other as brethren. We have that partaking together. It keeps us from becoming prideful. Also removes division. Because how can you do this? How can you take part of the Lord's Supper and go, I don't want nothing to do with you. You stay on that side of the church. Oh, I'm preaching now. Amen. My wife and I visited this one place at this garage sale, at a rummage sale at a church. And the person who gave us a little tour, we asked, hey, can we look around? So they give us a little tour. And they said, well, when we first started this church, we merged with another church. And he said, for years, the one church that merged sat on that side. The church that was there sat on that side. And that's how they had their services. That was that church that merged. This was that. I mean, that doesn't work either. I said, well, how did it come together? They said, the pastor started saying, listen, you guys got to commingle here. True. It's like that'll bring a division. Now, how can you have division in that? What if your body did that? Your head said, I don't want to be a part of this. Your leg said, you know what? I don't like you. I mean, that would be weird. Praise God, things work together. It just wouldn't work. I can help myself. This hand doesn't work with it. When we look at communion, if we're the body of Christ, then every one of us is important. I said every one of us is important. If we feel like we're inadequate, you're probably more. My internal organs that I don't see, probably more valuable than what you see. Never feel like, well, I don't fit in. Yes, you fit in. You can't remove yourself from the body. God doesn't want you to. It's every joint supplies. The church is incomplete without you. Is this good stuff? Yeah. Then look at it and say, you know what? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to plug in. Lord, help me. And if you don't know what your role is, pray. Lord, drop in my heart. Put in within me what I should do. The Lord will instill that. He may lead you in that area. He will do it because He's the Lord. And if you can't find anything else and I throw this paper on the floor, then after service, somebody pick that up. How many knows that'll receive a reward? A cup of cold water in His name won't. How many knows that's an easiest thing you can do? But the most important, all of us can do something in the kingdom. Amen? True? We're all part together. When I look at communion, it's a commemoration. It's also the calling of our minds. In Hebrews 10, verse 10 says this, it's been suffered with Christ in one body once and for all. Jesus took on the form of human in the flesh. But we need to put that in mind, say, man, I'm mindful of these things. He left heaven to come here. Oh, that's so cool. He took on weakness. How many here would like, man, that'd be a tough day. What if you came to give your life a ransom for many? And your sole purpose was to redeem mankind. How many in here would be like, that's cool, until the day approached? How many think that would be a battle inside? Even Jesus asked, is there another way? I can just see that mental torment. And I know this, mentally we need to be equipped in this house too. Come on, Christianity is not mindless. You put to mind those things. Philippians 2, 5 and 6 says this, let this mind be in you was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God. He put to mind those things. You put your mind and will together, you're unstoppable. How many here ever felt like your flesh is rising up and you felt a little bit weak and you kind of agreed with that? Well, it's going to be bad and I know it's going to be bad and soon you're just going that way. But how many ever said, no matter what, I'm doing it? I've never had that resolve. I'm getting it done. You'll push through no matter what it is. And usually it's the first aches and pains that hold you back. But once you push through, it's a whole lot better. Amen? Now think about, mind this. Jesus became poor that we might become rich in faith. Isn't that cool? He took on poverty so I could walk in wealth. Notice the transfer there. I need to be mindful of those things. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. That you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, though He was rich, but for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty we might be rich. Amen? And I believe poverty is a spirit too. I've seen people grab a hold of that and just be like, no, never going to amount to nothing, never going to be. No, you will. If you're in Christ, you've been born again. No matter what way you were before, you've been born again. Can we mind those things? How about this? He bore our sins on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. I'm mindful of what He did for me. I love that. When I think about His goodness and what He's done for me, it puts a joy in my heart. In this life, there's not much to be happy about, but you can be happy in Christ. I'm happy I'm redeemed. And I'm happy one day He's coming again. Soon, we need to be about our Father's business. How many sense that we're like one step away from a breakthrough in this country? God doing something. Anybody feel that? For you that are intercessors, I want you to pray more earnestly. God, pour out your Spirit. Lord, work in families. When I look at Jesus, Revelation 1 verse 5, He conquered death for us. And Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. I love this. Who died for us and washed us by His own blood from our sins. Now, if I'm connected to the body, that means everything the body receives, I receive. True? Maybe your hand for a second. That means I can flow that to somebody else too. my power is endless in the body. You lack no good thing in the body. If you cut it off, what happens to it? It dies, true? You need to have that. Now, I'm not a nurse or a physician or a doctor here, but I do know for a fact, if that's cut off, there's a very short time that needs to be attached. Are you with me? Well, thanks be to God, he can still graft in, but let's not see how far we can get away from the body, but how close I can be. We all need the nutrients of the body. We all need the healing of the body. We all need the fellowship of the body. Everything the body is, I need. No wonder Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling. Don't cut yourself off. Can you see communion is more than just going to the elements, chugging it down and leaving? No, I'm preparing myself. I'm being ready. I'm minding these things. And all of a sudden it begins to explode upon us. There's a promise. If there's a curse with it, because we haven't observed right. Now, I'm using curse as too strong a word. If there's a failure in it, because we haven't observed, then all the benefits is when we observe. It says there's many weak and sick among you because you don't discern the Lord's body. How many want to discern the Lord's body? Then there's healing virtue. Then as you're partaking that, Lord, I'm prepared for this. Then every nutrient, every healing, everything the body needs, say amen, I now am partaking together. What a powerful statement that is. You ever notice that Jesus, before he was betrayed, what did he do? He broke bread. Of all the things that he could have prepared to done, I don't know if I was in that condition, if I'd be surrounded by 12 dudes and ministering to them, knowing that I'm going to die in just a few moments. Yet he's so unselfish. He poured so much into those guys. He knew that this is such a crucial time for you and your faith. That I'm going to spend my last days with you. And then I'm going to take a few of you with me when I go to the garden. And I'm going to ask you to stay with me in prayer. Only to find you sleeping. How many think he's so unselfish? It teaches me that when I'm going through something, man, Lord, help me still to look at other people too. True? Lord, let me minister to them. I often wondered after the resurrection how many of them felt really selfish. Because all of them gave their life. Maybe that revelation came, hey, I need a change in this area. Could you imagine that he touched my own feet? What if you realized Jesus touched your feet and washed them? Boy, that would bring humility to me. But that's what our Savior's like. And I'm going to speak this over leadership. If leadership will not be that way, they're not leading the way they need to lead. Being a pastor is never a position where now you don't have to do some of the things. Now, I'm not skilled in a lot of areas, especially music-wise. I'm musically declined. There's no doubt about it. So I thank God he brings that in. But you know what? You can never be a thing where that's for somebody else to do. Because at that moment, you stunt yourself in your servanthood. Is this good for everybody? That's just reality. Number 9, communion is identification. We identify with Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. For out of your heart, that confession, it's like it's there. It comes out of your mouth, but it comes from your heart. I am made right. I identify with him. This morning, you identified with him in communion. It's important. It's important who the church identifies with. Because many times you can't tell where the church stands. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the other day I flipped on, they had this NASCAR race, and I happened to just catch the opening prayer. And man, this brother got down with the program. He was praying, Lord Jesus, touch these guys, Lord God, move. And man, I was like, dude, yeah. I went, this wasn't a watered-down prayer like, God bless them, or whatever God you serve. The God of the trees, the God of the whatever, amen. No, put a name on it. If you're going to be a Christian, put a name on it. Be bold about your faith. There's no other name we're men, but by the name of Jesus. So when you take communion, it's like, no, I identify with him and I'm not ashamed of it. I've examined myself, Lord. I've made it right in my heart. Lord God, I'm one with the body. There's common union and I identify with you. There should be a boldness in our Christianity. Amen. And last here this morning, I know I had to move through this quick, but communion is expectation. What are you expecting? Can God touch you during communion? We know that the Corinthians said, hey, listen, there's many sick and weak among you because you don't discern. But if you discern the Lord's body, then you have the benefit of the body. Then whatever the body has in benefit, you can expect also. I remember one time I was in a service and this lady was looking for a breakthrough. She had a personal struggle in herself. And she was saying, Lord, help me, deliver me, help me from this. I never forget, after service, she came up to me and says, Pastor, she says, as soon as I partook of that, that broke in me. And it changed me. And I can sense that I'm different. Can we have an expectation when we come together? You can believe for that. You're coupling fasting and prayer. You're taking of this communion and saying, you know what? This is together. We're together in this. We need to be more together in this than ever. Never let any division come in because the enemy is good at bringing schisms. He's good at bringing offenses. Why? Because he knows it works. He knows that if the church is unified in power and purpose, man, potential is unbelievable. Lord, let me have no division. You know what? We're standing in this together. Amen? Amen. I'm going to partake and you're going to partake. Can we do it, church? Then have this frame of mind. Don't look at it and say, well, I can't partake because I'm not worthy. No, Christ makes you worthy. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil cancel you out because you don't feel worthy. That's good preaching. How many times have we canceled ourselves out when God said, I don't do it. You did it yourself. Confess it. I'll forgive you. But the frame of mind, can you believe this? Well, Lord, as I partake of this, send a healing touch upon. Lord, bring a work. Move in the city. Touch my family. Lord, I need a physical touch in my body. Lord, as I partake, healing virtue flow. Is this good? Can we be that church? If we have expectation, you know what? God can do more than we can offer and ask. How much more can he do? Amen. How many here need a healing touch as we close? Why don't you lift your hand up? Just be bold. Lift it up. You need a healing touch in your body. I'm going to pray over you. Just keep your hand up for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bring a corporate healing upon. Lord, whatever they need, Jesus. Now, if you know the symptoms or the need, speak that before the King. Touch this area. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring healing virtue now. Lord, you said if we'd rightly discern, there is health and peace. So, Father, we rightly discern this morning your time of communion. And now we have an expectation that the body will heal. Heal now. Flow that healing virtue. Lord, for those, Lord God, that are struggling financial, Lord God, bring that breakthrough of blessing. Father, for those that are standing in the gap for families to be saved, send your word now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, together we've discerned your body. We've walked in that measure. Now we look for the results. Lord, bless your people as they go. And we thank you for this time of fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.